Welcome to Nightlights. This is David Brent Johnson, and for the next hour, we'll be listening to music from Miles Davis, Dave Brubeck, Ornette Coleman, Charles Mingus, Bill Evans, and more, all recorded in one of the most significant years jazz has ever seen. It's 1959, coming up on this edition of Nightlights.
Thank you.
tenor saxophonist John Coltrane performing his composition and the title track from his Atlantic album Giant Steps, recorded in 1959 with Tommy Flanagan on piano, Paul Chambers on bass, and Art Taylor on drums. On this edition of Nightlights, we're playing music that was either recorded or released in one of jazz's most phenomenal years, 1959. It's a year that stands at a significant midpoint in the history of 20th century jazz, 42 years after the original Dixieland Jazz Band released its first record, and 41 years before Ken Burns' massive documentary attempted to coffee table the previous 8 decades of music. In 1959, 6 of the most influential and or popular jazz records ever made were either released or recorded. Miles Davis's Kind of Blue, John Coltrane's Giant Steps, Dave Brubeck's Time Out, Charles Mingus's Mingus Ah-Um, Ornette Coleman's The Shape of Jazz to Come, and the Bill Evans Trio's Portrait in Jazz. We'll hear music from all of those records, made in an era when all sorts of jazz styles were either still manifesting vitality or evolving in exciting ways. The veterans of the swing era were still among us. Many of the beboppers continued to be active. The Third Stream, a marriage of classical and jazz, had garnered much attention in the past several seasons. Hard bop retained its ascending momentum, and modal and free jazz arrived quickly at the forefront. The year 1959 was a historical flashpoint, the likes of which jazz is unlikely to ever see again. And yet at the same time, it was simply another year in which artists such as Miles Davis and Charles Mingus were going about their usual business of making music. As Kind of Blue drummer Jimmy Cobb described the album session nearly 40 years later, it was just another date for us. We'll start off with music from bassist Charles Mingus' 1959 masterpiece, Mingus Ah-Um, an album drenched in blues and infused with gospel feeling, born both of the church and of the city, all in the service of the most modern jazz. Mingus Ah-Um was, like its creator, at once revolutionary and in love with tradition. Here's Charles Mingus performing his composition, Better Get It in Your Soul, on Nightlights. Thank you. Bassist Charles Mingus performing his composition Better Get It in Your Soul from his 1959 Columbia album Mingus Ah-Am with John Handy on alto sax, Booker Irvin and Shafi Hadi on tenor sax, Jimmy Nepper on trombone, Horace Parlin on piano, and Danny Richmond on drums. 1959 was also a sad year for the jazz world. Three legendary figures, Lester Young, Sidney Bechet, and Billie Holiday, all passed away, and Mingus Ah-Um's second track, Goodbye Pork Pie Hat, was actually a tribute to Young. In the world at large, Fidel Castro took over Cuba, Pope John XXIII proclaimed the Second Vatican Council, the Dalai Lama fled the Chinese occupation of Tibet, the last surviving veteran of the American Civil War died, and the first color photos of Earth were received from outer space. We're going to hear now from another 1959 jazz masterpiece, pianist Dave Brubeck's Time Out. What began as an attempt to investigate odd and radical rhythms in jazz performance, extending the experiments of drummer Max Roach, ended up becoming the jazz soundtrack for late 1950s, early 1960s suburban America. In 1958, Brubeck's quartet had toured the Middle East and India as part of a State Department tour. There they listened to and sometimes played with musicians who performed folk music in time signatures other than 4-4. Brubeck combined a 9-8 pattern he heard in Istanbul with the blues in a classical rondo form, resulting in the album's compelling opening track, Blue Rondo a la Turk. Eventually, Columbia released this and another track from the album as a single. It was Blue Rondo's flip side, however, composed by Brubeck's alto saxophonist Paul Desmond, that became the smash hit that helped elevate Time Out to the status of a jazz blockbuster, and that is surely one of the most familiar jazz tunes ever recorded. Desmond said of it, it wasn't supposed to be a hit, it was supposed to be a Joe Morella drum solo. Here's the Dave Brubeck Quartet from the Time Out album, recorded in the summer of 1959, doing Take 5 on Nightlights. Thank you. Pianist Dave Brubeck performing Take Five, a composition now generally credited to the alto saxophonist on that recording, Paul Desmond, with Eugene Wright on bass and Joe Morello on drums from the 1959 album Time Out. When people start to get into jazz, they often ask, what's a good album to start with? Whether it's in person or on the internet, whether the respondent is a musician, a critic, or an enthusiastic fan, the answer often seems to be Miles Davis's Kind of Blue, an album recorded in the magical year of 1959. Kind of Blue was the culmination of Miles's first great period as a leader, drawing upon a group that included John Coltrane on tenor sax, Cannonball Adderley on alto sax, and Bill Evans on piano. As a jazz record, it's significant perhaps most for how Davis and the other musicians use scales, or modes, as the material for their improvisation, rather than a sequence of chords or harmonies. As writer Robert Palmer points out in his liner notes to a 1997 reissue of Kind of Blue, surely one of the most reissued records in the history of jazz, Davis had been playing around for the past 2 years with this concept, which goes back to composer and pianist George Russell. Miles, Palmer writes, saw the approach as a way of drastically simplifying modern jazz, which was then pushing against the outer limits of chordal complexity. Davis himself had stated his new credo in a 1958 interview, saying, there will be fewer chords, but infinite possibilities as to what to do with them. Pianist Bill Evans famously claimed that the musicians had never played these pieces before and compared the process to Zen painting. However, writer Ashley Kahn, who wrote an entire book devoted to Kind of Blue, points out that statements by the other participants indicate that some of these tunes had been evolving in previous performances. There's no doubt, however, that Davis was looking to create a sense of spontaneity when he brought his musical sketches into the studio for the group to play. The result was a brooding, creatively electric album that became a culture-wide talisman of cool. Miles Davis and So What on Nightlights. Trumpeter Miles Davis performing his composition So What from the 1959 album Kind of Blue, with John Coltrane on tenor sax, Cannonball Adderley on alto sax, Bill Evans on piano, Paul Chambers on bass, and Jimmy Cobb on drums. We'll have more jazz from the milestone year of 1959 coming up in just a few moments. Production support comes from the Laughing Planet Cafe and Soma Coffee House, offering San Francisco-style burritos, coffee drinks, fresh juices, and 100% fruit smoothies, and including locally grown and organic ingredients on the corner of Kirkwood and Grant in Bloomington, Indiana. This is David Brent Johnson, and you're listening to 1959 on Nightlights. We're playing music from the epic year of 1959 on this edition of Nightlights, a year that yielded half a dozen albums that are now considered either masterpieces or highly significant moments in each artist's career. Before the break, we heard tenor saxophonist John Coltrane performing with Miles Davis's group. His participation in the Kind of Blue sessions alone would rank this as an important year for Coltrane, but he also put out an album as a leader that made its own mark, Giant Steps. Giant Steps was the first Coltrane album to feature all original compositions, and they were so challenging that the superbly talented pianist Tommy Flanagan found himself struggling to keep up. Coltrane frequently used a pentatonic pattern to construct his solos, involving the first, second, third, and fifth degree of each key, a pattern, as Coltrane biographer Lewis Porter points out, that would become widespread primarily through Coltrane's influence. Giant Steps lived up to its title, pushing Coltrane higher up the artistic mountain that he'd begun to climb with his 1957 album Blue Train. As a reflection of its creator's increasingly rich personal life, it also featured three pieces with titles that were tributes to family members. Here's one of them, Cousin Mary, on Nightlights. We'll be right back. Tenor saxophonist John Coltrane performing his composition Cousin Mary from the Atlantic LP Giant Steps, recorded in 1959, with Tommy Flanagan on piano, Paul Chambers on bass, and Art Taylor on drums. John Coltrane wasn't the only saxophonist making a big splash in 1959. Texan-born Ornette Coleman brought his quartet to New York City's Five Spot Cafe, setting off a huge "is he a genius or is he a charlatan" debate in jazz circles. Coleman's group did not include a pianist, abandoned outline chord changes, and rarely followed predetermined harmonic structures. The result was a giddy but threatening freedom that set the stage for much of what would follow in the 1960s. Coleman's 1959 Atlantic album was prophetically titled The Shape of Jazz to Come, and it featured the on-vinyl debut of the most sympathetic rhythm section he'd had yet, with bassist Charlie Hayden and drummer Billy Higgins accompanying trumpeter Don Cherry, along with Coleman on alto sax. As jazz writer Larry Cart says, that the members of Coleman's rhythm section were expected to be full partners in his music was evident from the first. The speech-like phrases of "Lonely Woman," for one, are inseparable from Hayden's thrummed-out ostinato, and the continuing dramatic interaction between Coleman and Hayden on this piece is all the more satisfying because one feels certain that neither man is merely playing a part. Ornette Coleman and "Lonely Woman" on Nightlights.
Thank you.
Alto saxophonist Ornette Coleman performing his composition Lonely Woman from the Atlantic LP The Shape of Jazz to Come, with Don Cherry on cornet, Charlie Hayden on bass, and Billy Higgins on drums. We'll close this tribute to 1959 with two pieces connected to pianist Bill Evans, one that he's alleged to have co-written with Miles Davis for Kind of Blue, and this one from an album recorded at the very end of the year, marking the on-record debut of Evans' most significant trio, employing Scott LaFaro on bass and Paul Motion on drums. Evans was seeking a new approach. I'm hoping the trio will grow in the direction of simultaneous improvisation rather than just one guy blowing followed by another guy blowing, he said. As the group evolved, LaFaro and Motion became nearly equal partners, with Evans giving each numerous opportunities to propel the music forward in different ways. This trio, which created a template for many jazz piano trios to follow, would record two studio and two live albums worth of material during its short lifespan, ending when Scott LaFaro died in a car crash in the summer of 1961. Here's the Bill Evans trio with the very first number they recorded for Portrait and Jazz, Periscope on Nightlights. Thank you. We close with trumpeter Miles Davis doing Blue and Green from his 1959 LP Kind of Blue. Before that, pianist Bill Evans with Periscope from his album Portrait and Jazz, with Scott LaFaro on bass and Paul Motion on drums. Thanks for tuning into this edition of Nightlights. You can listen to previous Nightlights programs and view playlists on our website at nightlights.indiana.edu. Production support comes from the Laughing Planet Cafe and Soma Coffee House, offering San Francisco-style burritos, coffee drinks, fresh juices, and 100% fruit smoothies, and including locally grown and organic ingredients on the corner of Kirkwood and Grant in Bloomington, Indiana. Nightlights is engineered by Michael Paskesh and produced in the studios of WFIU at Indiana University. This is David Brent Johnson wishing you good listening for the week ahead.